Well, this morning I'm going to read for you from the Old Testament, Psalms 40, 4 through 8, as well as the New Testament reading. New Testament is Hebrews chapter 10 and 5 and 7. You will find that in your pew Bible, as well as in the back of your bulletin. If you have that, let us come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the presence of your Spirit with us. And we pray for, God, that you will illuminate for us your Word. So, Father, we pray that you'd guide us, that we will have an encounter with you, and that you may change us. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. In Psalms 44 through 8, it says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord, my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare to you. I will proclaim and tell them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted, but you have given me an ear, an open ear. Burnt offerings and sin offering, you have not required. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." Now for Hebrews. Consequently, when Jesus Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book, the word of the Lord." Now, this morning, be honest with yourself. Are you one of those parents who maybe buy or you bought your children those Xmas, those Christmas presents, those ones that are difficult to assemble? Have you ever been there? Were you still up to 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning still doing that? I have a friend of mine that was up to 3 and 4 and they just gave up and went back to bed. I guess they're finishing this morning. Let me share an account of a father who decided to put together some complicated equipment. Father's account goes this way, quote, he says, "About 15 years ago I bought my 4 children a swing set as an early Christmas present. It was an extra long metal set with 2 swings, 2 seating swingers, bench, a slide, monkey bars, and a series of hanging rings. I thought it would be a great project for the mechanically challenged dad to kind of show off his sacrificial love for his family. Besides, it was cheap and it was made in Germany. You can't beat German engineering. After purchasing, hauling, dragging, and opening the 200-pound box, I was suddenly overwhelmed by the sheer number of all the parts and the complexity of all the instructions. And based on my eye-popping assessment, I would have to assemble, get this, about 10,000 tiny screws, washers, nuts, bolts, wing nuts, more washers, plastic pieces, metal bars, metal chains, and the list goes on and on. He says they provided an English translation for the instructions. At least they did that. Unfortunately, there was no pictures or diagrams. Now, that's where I would be in trouble. Ask my wife. She reads directions, I don't. All I saw was convoluted, technical instructions, apparently designed for scientists. You know, people like Ted over there. Experts in mechanical engineering. It was too complicated for ordinary non-engineer people like me, so I decided to get some help from my mechanically inclined friends. and we eventually managed to put the assembly together, although for some reason I had a few dozen leftovers parts. And little wonder then that even my 34-pound son made the entire swing set shake and wobble. Unquote. Have you been there before? I have. This experience, of course, makes me think about Christmas. Is Christmas complicated, like German engineering? You know, if you look at the incarnation, and that's why we're here, we have a time to reflect and think about the doctrine of God becoming man. Theologians refer to that as sort of the hypostatic union. You know, and you've got all these philosophical, theological terms that theologians use to describe that mystery. And sometimes as I read that stuff, though I enjoy it, I think it becomes just unnecessarily complicated, like German engineering. And thank God I don't preach that way anymore. In my early years, I did preach more like that, but eventually I wised up. My wife gave me some good advice over the years. But, you know, Christmas is not complicated, though it is. Though God is infinitely more intricate, though God is infinitely more mysterious than even our universe, let alone German engineering swing sets, yet the God Almighty, God's glory, and God's grace, thank the Lord, are not reserved for an elite group of intellectuals. The concept of God is infinitely more complex, serving as the sort of intellectual grist for the mill of philosophers and theologians, but it is simple enough for a child to grasp. At Christmas, God became simple. The mysterious one, the mysterium tremendum, became visible. The unfamiliar became familiar. The infinite in size, the omnipresence of God became particular, became small, became local. The impassible God, as theologians speak of, became passable, became vulnerable. Just think about that. Can any German engineer put all of that together? Through Jesus Christ and that virgin birth, God became incarnate. And God revealed himself to just ordinary people, shepherds. As the Gospel of John says, no one has ever seen God, but Jesus has made him known. God did not send thousands of pieces down to us. God sent one piece down. He sent a person, a baby, God in flesh. And he also sent some very simple instructions. Thank God. If the instructions were complicated, I don't think any of us would be here. Amen. But he sent simple instructions. And what were they? Trust and obey. Christmas, according to Jesus, though profound, is not cumbersome. It is not complicated. It is not convoluted as maybe German engineering swing sets. So what is Christmas according to Jesus? Well, in our text this morning, the author of Hebrews says that Jesus came into the world to do one simple thing. And that thing was to do the will of the Father. In the Psalms 40, it says, "See, God, I have come to do your will." The author of Hebrews is quoting Psalms 40, which is a messianic psalm, prophesying that the Messiah would come, and he would come to submit his will to the perfect will of the Father. In other words, Christmas, according to Jesus, is really about submitting to the will of the Father. And the final submission of Christ to the Father was right before the cross, where Christ says, "Lord God, if there's any other way, is it possible?" But then he said, "Nonetheless, let your will be done." And in this act of submission to the will of the Father, Jesus found his destiny in life. So the question here this morning, what was the destiny of Jesus? What was Jesus' destiny as a baby in the manger? Well, unlike all of us when we were born, Jesus did not have to discover his destiny. All of us have to discover our destiny, our ultimate point, our meaning in life, if we are Christians. But one of the tragedies of life for an unbeliever, an unforgiven sinner, is that apart from Christ, there is no point. There is no purpose in life. As the preacher says, vanity. Vanity, all is vanity. You ever wonder why people get into drugs? They get into drinking, and it overwhelms their life. They're trying to escape because life is dark and meaningless. But with Christ, life has a purpose. For us as believers, life is not based on luck. Life is not based on chance and happenstance. All we must do is trust. Trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not in our own ways of thinking. All we have to do is, it says in Scripture, is to acknowledge God and He will direct our paths. We can be confident that God is directing our path in life. We don't have to know the path beforehand. We do not have to know all the twists and the turns and the trials of life because Jesus already went before us. All we have to do is take His hand and He will guide us. Every day is a day of discovery for us as Christians. But for Jesus, there was no destiny to discover. Jesus knew His destiny. He knew the path beforehand. Jesus knew all the twists and the turns and the trials of His journey. That doesn't mean He knew every specific point. There was points in His life where Jesus had to trust the Father. But Jesus overall knew exactly why He came to earth and what He was all about. Jesus did not come as a baby to be a baby. Jesus did not come to be a cute little Gerber baby in the manger. Christmas, according to Jesus, is not ultimately about Christmas. It's not ultimately about the birth. Some years ago, there was this comedy by Will Ferrell. It was called Talladega Nights. He played Ricky Bobby. And he kept emphasizing the little baby Jesus. Everything for him was the baby Jesus. The baby Jesus was the sum total of Christ. Unfortunately, many times this gets into the church. We think it's all about that little baby in a manger. But Christmas, according to Jesus, is not ultimately about the birth of Christ, but it's about the death. This is not to say that the birth of Christ was not important. The birth of Jesus was a necessary condition for Him to be a man and for Him to die. And Jesus, unlike all of us, Jesus was not born and then He died because of sin. But Jesus was born to die for our sins. Big difference, isn't it? Jesus, you know, I like to think sometimes, if Jesus didn't die on the cross, you know, He would have lived for eternity. He wouldn't have died. Human death is judgment because of the sin of Adam. But the Bible tells us that Christ, who's the last Adam, or the second Adam, recapitulated, did what Adam should have done. And by that, He earned for us the righteousness that we stand in this morning. So this is what Christmas is all about. In doing the will of the Father, Jesus dies as an atonement for our sins, to bring spiritual salvation and life and ultimate purpose to our lives. Beloved, Christmas is that simple. It's no more complicated than that. So in conclusion, on this Christmas morning, May we keep our focus on that real meaning, on that real purpose. This season, as we continue to retell the story of Christmas, may we better realize that this story reverberates into eternity. But more important than that, Christmas, according to Jesus, reverberates to you personally. Jesus says, through the mouth of the psalmist, "See, God, I have come to do your will." So during this holy season, may we as believers continue to open our hearts that we may continue to have fellowship with our Lord. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we've gathered here on the first day of the week to worship you, Lord. And it just happens to be Christmas. What better time to worship than now? We thank you, Lord, that you, the great God of the universe, came down to our level, which is the essence of humility. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to do that, though that you did not have to, but you willingly gave your life. So we thank you, Lord, for the grace that we have received. We thank you for the mercy of Christmas. We thank you for God Almighty becoming flesh. In Christ we pray. Amen.